I sat down, and I guess I could have done it standing up, but I sat down and said to myself, not audibly, but what is your greatest need? What do you need right now more than anything else? And I tried to be honest and sincere about it. And I was convicted that the one thing that I needed right now more than anything else was prayer. And I wouldn't be surprised if I couldn't just go ahead and make that apply to Southwest Church. Perhaps one of our greatest needs is simply to pray. I think if we face the question honestly and sincerely, we find that our hearts are not warm, our hearts are not compassionate as they should be. And I know when we pray, I look back over my life, and I know when I pray, I'm able to do things for the Lord. I'm able to serve the Lord, and I know what's true with me is true with you. You may ask, why is prayer so needful? Why is it so urgent? Well, I can give you a lot of reasons in a hurry. I'm not going to be in a hurry, but I want to give you several. First, there's a devil, and he's on the job. He's wise, he's cunning, and he's plotting the downfall of every child of God. And I think when we fail to pray, we're sure to fall into a snare. I thought of Ephesians 6:10, said, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, and having done all to stand. And then after it talks about the armor of God, it says this, verse 18, Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now here's the Christian warrior's resource. Praying, supplication. That word that's rendered supplication there is interested. It has in it the idea of just stretched out, agonizing in prayer. And you know, when we do that kind of praying, wonderful things happen. We need to engage in constant, persistent, overcoming prayer. Brother Penn tells us we're in a crisis, and we are. But that's all the more reason why we should pray. God is as strong now as he's ever been. He's ready and willing to give us whatever moral and spiritual resources that we need to be victorious. Then I give you another reason why we ought to pray. And that is, it's God's way for us to get things. James 4:2 says, ye have not because ye ask not. I read that about 4 or 5 times. Ye have not because ye ask not. Now, a lot of times we preachers talk about unanswered prayer and tell the people, well, here's the reason why your prayers are not answered. But here is the reason given why a lot of prayers are not answered. They're simply not offered. Ye have not because ye ask not. You say, well, I didn't want to bother the Lord about this thing. It was a little thing. It bothered me, but I didn't want to bother the Lord. Listen, friends, anything that's big enough to disturb our cause me to be anxious and worry is something to pray about. I think many a Christian is asking, why don't I make more progress in my life? I think many a minister, many a pastor is saying, why don't I see more fruit? Well, I believe God very often answers back, you have not because you ask not. Maybe Sunday school teachers ask, I wonder why I don't see more of my pupils saved. And God answers, you have not because you ask not. Neglect of prayer. You have not simply because you do not ask. In reading the book of Acts, you read about the apostles that I think stand as examples for us. The growth of Christianity in the age of the apostles and just beyond was phenomenal. There was great growth, great spiritual prosperity. And I think we do well to learn. For instance, the church at Jerusalem began to grow and grow. And with its growth came multiplying responsibilities. One thing, the situation of ministering to people who had lost their property and who were in dire need of things to eat and to wear. And the apostles found themselves so busy ministering in the things of the material that they just weren't doing what God wanted them to do. And so they reminded the church that they needed help. Deacons were elected. And the apostles said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. You know, my friends, those are two things that the preacher better put first in his life. Prayer and the ministry of the word. And if he has to leave that, it's time for deacons and others to take over. We need to pray. You ever thought about the earthly life of Jesus while he was here on earth about 33 years? What about prayer in his life? My friend, it occupied a very prominent place in the earthly life of our Lord. I want to read two examples of his prayer life. First is in Mark 1:35. Here's another that I read about a half a dozen times. Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day. Now that's early rising. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place. He went to a place where he could be alone and there prayed. Now, if you study, you'll find that the previous day had been very busy for him. But Jesus shortened the hours of needed sleep that he might get up early and pray. Then I want to read to you where he prayed all night. Now, I'm not telling you that Jesus prayed all night every night. He didn't. But here was something that required praying. It was before he appointed his 12 apostles. And it says in Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Sometimes the situation is such that we need to spend more than just a few moments in prayer. Let me ask you a question and you answer it in your own mind, heart. If we just look back, we'll say for the last 7 days, how much time do you suppose you prayed if it were added up? It's really something to think about. And I hope you will think about it. I'm not asking you to say it, to tell anyone except yourself. But it's easy to slip into a prayerlessness attitude, especially when things seem to be going along pretty smooth and we feel that we don't need the Lord. Did you know that prayer is what Jesus is doing now? Jesus not only died for us, he lives for us. And the Bible tells us that he's the right hand of the Father, praying for us or interceding for us. In Romans 8:34, it asks the question, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You know, you could ask the question, how can we really call ourselves Christians, followers of Jesus, and not be men and women of prayer? For he prayed during his earthly life, and in his heavenly ministry, he is now engaged praying for us. Another reason for praying is that through prayer, we obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And brother, that applies to all of us. You say, I've never really had a time of great need. Well, cheer up, you will have. If you haven't ever experienced anything like that, you will. We need grace. We need mercy. We need it every day. Hebrews 4:15-16 says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Then next it says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, I was talking to a young man just recently, and he said, there are times when I just don't know what to do, don't know which way to turn. You ever get that way? I don't know what to do, don't know which way to turn. I really don't know. Well, there's when we need help from above. And we're told to boldly, boldly come into the presence of God. Not arrogantly, but boldly in the name of Jesus Christ. Just like a little child that stubbed his toe, just rush in and tell mother about it all. Our God is willing to do great things for us. It's through prayer that we get joy. Any of us that couldn't stand a little more joy? And I'm not necessarily talking about the kind of joy that just causes you to go around laughing all the time. I've met people that are just laughing about all the time that I think they were unhappy. I'm talking about when the waters really run deep. I'm talking about a genuine peace and satisfaction deep down in one's heart. John 16:24, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. J.B. Phillips in his translation puts it like this. Up to now, he says, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask now and you will receive, that your joy may be overflowing. You say, well, how does prayer bring overflowing joy? Well, it brings joy when we get what we ask for. And then it gives us joy because it makes God real. Let me tell you, friends, when you pray childlike, simple way, when you pray to God and God answers your prayer and you're aware that He's answered your prayer, it makes God feel mighty close. Almost as if you could reach out and touch Him. David said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. And I don't think that's necessarily talking about the future. In the presence of the Lord, when we're really in tune with Him, in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. I think it's through prayer that we can have a calmness and serenity of the soul. We have a lot of things to disturb us. Do you ever have things to upset you? If you tell me that you don't have, I'll tell you, you have one habit you sure need to get straightened out. All of us have experiences that unsettle us. And we need peace and quiet and calmness inside. How do you get it? Well, Philippians 4:6-7 says, in nothing be anxious. It says, the King James Version, be careful for nothing. It has the idea in it being, in nothing be anxious. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I think all of us need that. Did you know it's through watchfulness and prayer that we stay ready for the second coming of Christ? That's right. May I read from Luke 20:34? Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this world or this life, so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. It's talking about a second coming. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy or have strength to escape all those things that come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That word surfeiting means excess, to overdo. And the cares and problems of life. You know, the second coming of Christ is interesting. It's exciting to talk about it. And it's quite another thing to be ready for it. Would you be ready right now for the Lord to come back? Or would you prefer He wait a little bit? There's a world of things accomplished by prayer. It is through prayer, like David prayed, that our sins are brought to light. Sometimes we need the penetrating light of God shine into our hearts and let us see what we're really like. David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thought and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in a way everlasting." Now, when we pray like that, really mean it, God will shoot his penetrating light into the very deepest recesses of our hearts, and there'll be things brought to light that we didn't know was there, things contrary to the will of God. Through prayer, we confess our sins and have cleansing. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is through prayer that we're linked to God and we have the strength and the power of God. That's the reason for praying. Prayer avails for the conversion of other people. Now you say, explain that. I don't know, but I know what the Bible teaches about it. I know, for instance, Paul prayed for unsaved people. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." He goes ahead to say, "I bear them record, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." So Paul prayed for his people, prayed that they would accept the righteousness of God, which is Jesus Christ. So we're taught to pray for the lost, witness to them. There are so many blessings that prayer brings to a church. It can sweep away all jealousy, self-centeredness, and any wrong spirit that might prevail. Prayer can just sweep that out. Prayer can just open up the gate of God's grace and bring in a great flood tide of revival. I remember how we used to have revivals in my old home church. We didn't have any Sunday school rooms. We had one big auditorium. And huge windows in it. But when we had our meeting, and we always had it in the hot summertime, people would go off in prayer groups down in the woods. Say, "You can't do that." They did. And prayed. And let me tell you how the preacher worked it now. It was 2 weeks. 2 weeks for revival. I said, 2 weeks? Yes. Morning and evening. 2 whole weeks. And I know what I'm talking about because I was back there. I know what the preacher would do. The first week, morning and evening, he preached to God's people. He didn't talk to the unsaved. Brother Donald will bear me out on that. The preacher didn't talk to the unsaved. The first week, there wasn't a single invitation given. That's just general pattern. And it usually took about a week of morning and evening for God's people to get where they were in tune with the Lord on praying terms. And then when that happened, he would turn to the unsaved. And he'd have a lot of evangelists. And people would be saved. That same thing would work today. We don't have to go down the woods somewhere to pray. But we need to pray. And it'll bring revival to our own hearts and to the church. May God help us to be men and women of prayer.